Well, good morning, church. It's a pleasure to be with you guys this morning, and I just want to say welcome and thank you for tuning in with us this Sunday morning as we continue this worship service. But I just want to say again, welcome to those of you guys who are tuning in possibly for the first time. We are so glad that you chose to worship with us this morning. But we're going to be continuing on this morning in our series of 2 Timothy. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and get them out and open them up to 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's where we're going to be spending our time today, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 21. Now, before we actually get into the meat of what we're going to be looking at, I want to go ahead and just pray for us, and we'll continue on. Lord, we just come before you this morning, and God, we recognize that you are good. And Father, we are just so very grateful and thankful for times as this where we get to come together and we get to worship together, whether we are in person or we are scattered throughout our community, Father. Lord, we get to still study your word together as a body of believers. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we look at your word this morning that you will speak to us. And Father, that you will reveal in us areas that we need to grow in, but ultimately, Father, how we can live our lives in an honorable way for you. So, Lord, speak through me this morning and ultimately allow your word to be heard. It's in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So, as I said, we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 14 through 21. But before we get into that, we're going to kind of do a recap real quick of where we've got or of how we've got to this point in 2 Timothy. So, obviously, as we see here, this letter is written to a guy named Timothy, who is a young pastor in the church of Ephesus, and this letter is written by a guy named Paul. Paul and Timothy have a very close relationship. It's a very much a father-son relationship, and so this is actually a pretty cool letter that we get to read here. Now, Paul, who many of us know is probably one of the greatest missionaries of all time, is actually writing this letter from a prison in Rome. And so, and many people believe that this is actually his last letter to be written. So this is a very significant letter. And for the fact that he's writing it to Timothy, who he often refers to as a son or a child to him, this is actually a pretty intimate letter. And the letter, the reason why Paul was writing Timothy at this point is because there was some false teachers and some false apostles who were coming in and who were speaking a false truth. And ultimately, what was happening is that this was swerving believers from abiding and remaining faithful to the gospel. And so these guys were coming in teaching a false gospel. They were teaching false truths. And Paul is writing this letter to Timothy to encourage him as he continues to go through this time. And so he is encouraging Timothy to walk with great faith and to remain faithful to the ministry that has been brought before him. And as we looked at last week, Pastor Victor looked at the first 13 verses of chapter 2. Paul is encouraging Timothy to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And he even he uses different examples as Timothy being a good soldier, or as an athlete who is preparing to take on a competition, or even a farmer who is tending to his crops. He is telling him to be encouraged and ultimately to be strengthened and to endure what is actually happening to them in their church. And so that's exactly what Victor was looking at last week, of how we can, in moments such as this where Timothy is facing some hardship or some trials, how we can endure these sufferings. And he gave us 5 points last week on how we can do this. But this week, instead of looking at how we can endure, let's look at how this will impact us, and not only us, but those around us by us enduring suffering. So in verses 14 through 21, I'm going to read it to us and we'll jump into it. So it says, "Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So like as I said here, it's now when we look at verses 14 through 21, it's a matter of last week in verses 1 through 13, we see how we are able to endure suffering by remaining faithful and preparing ourselves as a good, faithful soldier, as preparing ourselves for an athlete or a farmer who prepares his fields for his crops. We see how we are able to endure these sufferings through examples such as this, and ultimately to be reminded of who Christ is in our lives so that we can remain faithful to him to be able to endure everything for the sake of the elect, as Paul said. But now it's time for us to see in verses 14 through 21 how by us to remaining faithful to Christ and enduring these sufferings, how it will affect those around us. And so what Paul says here in verses 14, it says, remind them of these things and charge them before God. So what Paul's talking about here when he says remind them of these things, he's telling them to remember who Christ is. And then going back to verse 11 through 13, it says, this saying is trustworthy. For if we died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. But if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So Paul is telling us to remind ourselves of these things, that even if we die with Christ, we also live with Christ. And if we endure, we also reign with him. And even if we remain faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So we say, remind them of these things and charge them before God, not to quarrel about words, which does no good. So like I said, in the context of what's going on here, there's men who are coming in who are speaking false words and teaching false truths, and people are getting really upset over this, and they're quarreling money among each other. But Paul says, don't quarrel about such words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearer. So if we as believers fall into this category and we continue and we walk in quarrelsome ways, that we're only going to ruin the impact of our ministry as believers. Those who do not believe the truth will not come to know the truth because we are choosing to be quarrelsome. And that's not what we need to do. So Paul is encouraging them to remind them of these things, that we are in Christ, so Christ lives within us, and that if we are faithless, he remains faithful, so we need to remain faithful to him. And he goes on and says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. So instead of being one who is quarrelsome, we need to be one who is preparing ourselves as a worker, rightly handling the truth. So we need to prepare ourselves to take action and to not be ashamed of what's going or of what we believe in or what's going on around us, but rather we need to be bold. We need to take a stand on what we believe in so that we can rightly handle the word of truth and speak this truth into the lives of those around us, so that if they are swerving from the truth or if they are walking away from this path, we're able to bring them back in with us so that way they can walk in fellowship with us, so that even for them to rightly handle the truth. And so we need to present ourselves to God as one approved, as a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And he goes on and says, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Now, this idea, though, this is not the first time that Paul addresses this in his letters to Timothy. If you look back at 1 Timothy chapter 4, this is also something that he discusses there in verse 7. It says, for have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. And he even goes down or even goes on in even in chapter 6, and it says, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up and will conceit with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and depraved of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. So this is not a new idea that Paul is talking about here with Timothy when it comes to those who are around the church of Ephesus. And he goes on saying, avoid these irreverent babbles, for it will only lead people into more and more ungodliness, and they will not come to know the truth. And it says, if anything, their talk will spread like gangrene. And for those of you guys who know what gangrene is, it is like it's a bacterial infection that eats away your skin, and it kills the skin cells in your body. And the only way that you can heal it is by antibiotics or even just the removal of that spot. So it's a nasty, nasty thing that we can get. And Paul is referring to our irreverent babble as this example, that our irreverent, silly talking is like gangrene, and it can spread and it can kill. So we need to avoid this so that way our impact of the ministry will not be ruined. But rather, we need to, going back to what he talks about there in the beginning of chapter 2, but rather we need to remain faithful to God, and we need to face sufferings with great endurance. So that way, when it does come down to conversations like this, we're able to actually to bring them back into a wholesome talk and into a unifying front with the gospel. And he goes on and says, among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. Now check this out. This actually is not the first time that Paul has actually mentioned the name Hymenaeus. Hymenaeus was brought up again in 1 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, that they may not learn to blaspheme. And he goes back and he says that he has rejected his faith. So he is bringing Hymenaeus back up as another example. So obviously Hymenaeus has not learned from his mistakes, or has not learned from this previous encounter. But rather, he's using him again here as another example of what not to be like. And he says here that he has swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. And by so doing this, they are upsetting the faith of some. So we do not need to become a Hymenaeus or a Philetus, but rather we need to remain faithful to this truth in which God has placed before us. We need to be this good worker who is not ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And he goes on, and this is the key verse here that I want us to focus on in verse 19. It says, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing his seal. The Lord knows who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now this verse is huge. This is where we are able to find assurance in faith whenever we face hardship. Because if we try to face these hardships by ourselves, we will only ultimately fail. But rather, when we remain faithful to God, and we remain faithful to his promises and what he has given to us, we are able to stand on a firm foundation. For it says here, but God's firm foundation stands. And so when we remain faithful to the Lord, we remain faithful to the promises of God and the fact that he will be with us, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and that he will do a good work through us, we are able to stand. Check out these few verses here. It says this in Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And it goes on in Philippians 1:6. This is another example. It says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. And the last one here is Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so if we remain faithful to this firm foundation, and if we remain faithful to the promises in which God has given us, he is going to complete a good work in us and through us, and he's going to make an impact on those around us in our community, in our families, in our world. But if we continue to walk in the way as Hymenaeus and Philetus, and we continue to partake in irreverent babble and silly talk, we are going to ruin that ministry impact that we have. And so we do not need to partake in this, but rather we need to remain faithful to God's firm foundation. And this is the beauty of it. The Lord knows who are his, and that everyone who names the name of the Lord shall depart from iniquity. That is huge. That is a huge promise. So if we walk and if we walk with endurance in the Lord and we stand on his firm foundation, we are able to depart from iniquity. Whereas if we continue to walk in our own ways and we continue to walk in our own flesh, we are only going to walk in depravity. We're going to walk in a way that is separate from the Lord. We're not going to be able to depart from our iniquity. We're only going to dwell in it. We're not going to make the impact in which the Lord is desiring for us to do through our lives. So if we remain faithful to the Lord and we stand on his firm foundation, we are able to depart from this iniquity, allowing our examples to be of a greater purpose. And we're able to remain faithful and to show the light of the Lord to those around us. And it goes on here in verse 20. It says this. It says, "Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." So this is a really cool metaphor here that Paul brings into the picture about how we are to be used and how we are to cleanse ourselves from the things that are dishonorable. So if we continue to walk in the flesh, if we continue to walk by the truths of which man teaches us, we're only setting ourselves up for failure. We're only going to be used for dishonorable use. We're not going to be cleansed. But if we remain faithful to the foundation in which the Lord has set before us, we will be that of honorable use. And the Lord will use us for great and mighty things. So as we wrap up our time, though, my prayer for us is that we will actually stop in this season where we actually have time to stop and think about where the Lord has put us and the things that are on our hearts and the things that we've been thinking and reflecting on. And my prayer is that we will actually stop and cleanse the things that need to be cleansed, so that way we can set ourselves up for success to be used in a very honorable way for the Lord. So that way our ministry, the impact of our ministry, can continue and not be like those who have swerved from the truth, but rather those who remain faithful with great endurance to continue on in this life. So as we wrap up this time, though, I just encourage you to take time to stop, to think about what the Lord is teaching you in this season as we are forced to actually stay in our homes and to be with our families. Take advantage of this time so that way we can actually prepare ourselves for what the Lord has for us next. Because I do believe that there is going to be, that the Lord is going to use us in a great and mighty way at the end of all of this. When the coronavirus is over, we're going to have such a huge platform as believers to be able to go and to be the light into the darkness. And so this is a great time for us to stop and to reflect back on our own hearts and our minds and our souls, to cleanse ourselves from what is dishonorable so that way we can be used in a very real and honorable way. So my question for those of you guys who are listening, though, is some of you guys may be thinking to yourself, like, what does that mean for me, though? Like, I don't even know what that means for me in my relationship with the Lord. Many of us out there may not even be on a firm foundation. Some of us may be on a very rocky foundation. And so my challenge to us is that we will stop and reflect even on that. Where are we standing? Are we actually remaining faithful to the Lord? Are we standing in the Lord? Or are we choosing to abide by the things of this world? This actually reminds me of that passage in Matthew where it talks about where we built our house. It says in Matthew 7, verse 24, it says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it." So where do we stand? Are you standing on the rock? Are you establishing your foundation on the rock, the one that will stand? Or are you going to be like the foolish man who sets his foundation on the sand, who will ultimately wash away and the house will fall? So if you're in a place today where you do not know where your foundation is, I challenge you to reach out to somebody who knows the truth. It is imperative that we understand the need for Jesus and that our foundation is set upon the rock. So that way when the trials do come and when the suffering does come, that we will not be torn apart, that we will not be blown away, but rather we can stand the test, as Paul talks about, even with Timothy, of enduring the suffering. So if you do not know what it means to have your foundation established on the rock or have a relationship with Jesus, I pray that you will reach out to somebody who knows or who has a relationship with Jesus and will ultimately seek those answers. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the essential truths of the gospel, the fact that we are sinners who are saved by grace, by your son Jesus, who came and took the sins of the world on his shoulders, so that way we can walk in newness of life. And Lord, I do pray that if there is anyone here, Father, who is walking in a way that is unfit for your ministry, Father, I pray that during this time of season that they will stop and they will reflect on their own hearts and that they will cleanse themselves of what is dishonorable. And that way they can prepare themselves to be used in a very honorable way. But Lord, I do also pray for those who are not walking with you at all, who are walking by the wayside, who are walking as enemies of the cross of Christ. And I pray, Father, that you will reveal to them the need of a relationship with you. Lord, that life is short. And that if they die today, that they will be spending eternally separated from you, Father, because they do not have a relationship with you. So I just pray, Father, that if that is anybody who is listening today, that you will open up their hearts to allow them to ask questions, to seek answers, and ultimately to seek you. Because it's only through you, Father, that we are able to receive salvation. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we just thank you for this time, and we thank you for your word, Father. It's in Christ's name. Amen.